Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Jean Marie.
Ron will not be with us today, and I am Lita.
On today's episode, we're talking about diseases that many thought were from the past, but they're now making a resurgence and a comeback. I think I was reading a recent WebMD feature where they identified several illnesses that pose renewed threats to the public.
Yep, I kind of got shocked at one of them too, like the plague.
Well, the plague because of, especially like in areas like Texas, where you have armadillos that carry the plague. So
yeah. I just hadn't heard of the plague since.
When you think the plague, you think
the Middle Ages or something. Yep. Even common ailments like measles, mumps, and whooping cough are resurging, often due to lower vaccination rates. Meanwhile, diseases like tuberculosis, syphilis, and even scarlet fever are returning in alarming numbers, also according to WebMD.
And probably, there are a few main reasons why these diseases are reemerging. For, like you had mentioned, vaccine hesitancy and declining immunization rates, global travel, and it facilitates the disease spread across borders, antibiotic resistance, especially to diseases like TB and sexually transmitted infections, especially if you don't finish your, when people don't finish their antibiotic, and when we stop treating individuals who are, like in the U.S., if they're not treating individuals who don't have residency here, then, you know, you have a potential to just increase disease prevalence because...
What do you mean by that?
They said that they weren't going to be treating people who, that like medical care...
They're not permanent residents or they don't have...
Or they're here, their status here is questionable.
Oh, I see.
And those are the people that are, you know, often, not always, but... often, like, you know, interacting with, you know, like your food source. So, you know, you have people who aren't getting the medical care they need, that are working in a farm field, that don't have facilities to utilize the facility, you know, to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And then you're just spreading disease. So when you don't have community care, you have a increased risk of disease spread for contagious diseases.
Right.
And when you're not taking care of individuals who are displaced or... you know, that who can't afford health care, then, you know, it becomes problematic for everyone.
Yeah. Well, like you just said, socioeconomic factors like overcrowded living conditions. They can challenge health care access. Also, they play major roles. We'll spotlight a few of the top resurging diseases. Okay. Number one is measles. And at one time, it was nearly eradicated. But cases have spiked due to unvaccinated pockets in communities. The symptoms for measles are a high fever, a rash, a cough, and conjunctivitis. What's that?
Yeah, red eyes.
Oh, red eye. Okay. The risks for measles is that it can accelerate or
develop into as a potential risk factor for
pneumonia, encephalitis, and even death. And the only way to prevent it is the MMR vaccine. Another one that's coming back or resurging is whooping cough, also known as pertussis. And that's a highly contagious respiratory infection. The symptoms for that are a severe coughing fit, and it makes like a whoop sound when inhaling. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called whooping cough. The risks of that is it's especially deadly for infants. So booster vaccines are critical. A third one would be tuberculosis or TB. It is still a global killer. It has drug-resistant strains that are challenging to treat. The symptoms could be a persistent cough, weight loss, night sweats, and the diagnosis and treatment include a chest x-ray, a sputum culture, and treatment would be a multi-drug regimen.
And it's a long treatment period.
Like 5 years or something, right?
It's really, I mean, I think it's like 6 months of antibiotics, and then, you know, you have to constantly monitor.
Yeah, you have to constantly be checked again, right?
Yeah, but you have to finish your medication to prevent it from becoming antibiotic resistant.
Right.
Syphilis is another disease that we're seeing, there's been spikes, and it's been especially high among certain age groups and communities, even older adults. That's been something new. Symptoms may include ulcers, rash, and neurological issues at advanced stages. Treatment usually is antibiotics. Though there are antibiotic-resistant strains, and antibiotic-resistant strains of syphilis are increasing.
Scarlet fever and Legionnaires' disease are other diseases that are making a resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlet fever follows a strep infection usually.
Right, and Legionnaires can originate from contaminated water systems. You often see it in an area where the pool is not properly treated, or in ventilation systems, and so you have to be vigilant for testing for it, and then when you're treating a pool or another water source, you have to make sure that you're checking that frequently and adjusting the chemicals that you're using to treat that system often.
And I know that it can like occur in hot tubs.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, ventilation systems.
Well, yeah.
But where does it come from initially?
It's a bacteria
that just grows.
Yeah, and you're not using like chlorine. You're not using enough chlorine to treat the hot tub or the pool or whatever your system.
So
whatever
it just
you have in place,
growing in the water,
right? And then it spreads because it likes hot, humid environments.
Got it.
And then you can spread it. It can spread
person to person, or you get it just from the water?
Let's move on.
Okay, all right. Scarlet fever.
We have a lot to cover.
All right. Scarlet fever is treatable also with antibiotics. However, Legionnaires demands vigilant water quality management.
Right. Oh, and actually also in like the mister systems that you'll see like...
Like an outside of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's also a potential issue because it's basically aerosolizing it if it's in your water. So that can be problematic as well.
Yeah, didn't think of that.
It often comes down to basic public health measures. Everyone should stay current on their vaccinations, MMR, pertussis, for example, and also your screening, like your TB screening. And typically, if you're going to be in food service and healthcare, they want to make sure that you have TB, that you're screened for TB so that you're not spreading it to your patrons or clients or that kind of thing. And then practice good hygiene. As always, wash your hands.
I know.
People do not wash their hands enough.
Never.
Wash your hands. If you're sick and you're working, stay home. If you're an employer, provide, enough
sick days. Tolerate, yeah.
Yeah, so that your employees don't have to come in and when they're ill. If you have agricultural workers, make sure that they have adequate health care and facilities. It's all about,
prevention.
Prevention, putting those practices in place. Also, if you have a facility like in schools or shared indoor spaces or in pool areas, ensure that you have proper ventilation because it can reduce the spread of things like Legionnaires, but also, you don't want bacteria hanging around or viruses spreading among groups. Ventilation is important. And also sunlight can help, detenuate, some of these things. So increasing sunlight to areas can also help.
Okay. And for high risk groups like travelers, infants, and the elderly, special precautions like pre-trip vaccines, booster shots, and avoiding large crowded events are crucial.
And as we saw with COVID, masks can help when used correctly. If you have a compromised immune system, if you're older or if you have young children, and you're going to be traveling, you might want to be putting those in place and utilizing, you know, proper preventative equipment.
Right.
Healthcare campaigns and community outreach are essential to fight misinformation and to increase vaccine confidence. I know that's an issue we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
there's mixed messages coming.
Right, there are. But there, you can literally go online and see what the adverse reactions. There's the adverse reaction reporting system. You can actually go online and see what the adverse reactions that were actually reported are and not listen to, you know,
Reddit.
Chris's cousin, sister's nephew's brother's neighbor's dog said that they, you know, had a severe reaction to a vaccine. Go online and actually pull up the research, the documentation, and see what the, you know, what the actual adverse reactions are. And then if you do have, you know, like an allergy to something that's in the vaccine, ask if there's an alternative.
Sure. Growing antibiotic resistance remains a threat.
Yeah.
The medical community must push for new treatments and expand disease surveillance. And that we cover that
yes.
surveillance on wastewater management.
Right, and we've talked about antibiotic resistance and what can be done there as well, and about how continued research is vital. For example, you know, they took They had soil samples from was it Easter Island, and that they took in the 1970s, and then someone was researching it, and they found you know, a new treatment for antibiotic resistant bacteria in that soil sample. So research is vital. If you want a deeper dive, we'll have a bunch of links in our show notes.
Right. Well, remember, this podcast is not a substitute for medical advice. Consult your doctor about any health concerns or symptoms.
And never disregard professional medical medical advice. Or, and if you're going to be undertaking a new healthcare regime, make sure you consult a healthcare provider. Thank you for tuning in to Podcast DX. Take care, stay healthy, and we'll see you next time.